security considerations. And then I really see this more of a question and answer period than any than very long presentations.
And you, Sammy and Joe, you've both seen the agenda, I'm guessing. So,
we've seen the agenda.
Once Nick has done that, I'll come over to both of you and see if you have anything you wish to add. We're going to ask people to hold their questions until the presentations are over, and then. Just to call on people on a first-come, first-served basis. If you're in the Adobe Connect window, you can actually see people's hands being raised, and those who don't know how to do that can just ask in the chat. So if you are somewhere that you can connect to the internet, you might log into the Adobe Connect session.
Sammy, I would suggest that you do make some comments. We are pleased to have you on the call.
Indeed.
And I thank you very much for being here with us, as well as Joe. And I think it would add some real value for you to have some comments about your work on the arrangements for the ICANN meeting and how focused you are and your team, the organizing committee. You might talk about, for instance, that you have different committees, both security, transportation, and anything else you want to address. So it gives the people a sense of our community in Nairobi and our hosts in Nairobi and how focused you are on this program.
All right, no problem. I'm just trying to look at it. I think I probably might have missed out the agenda, but it's all right. I think Joe can continue. I don't seem to have it with on the emails that came. But I think Joe can I'll just follow through. That's all right.
Yeah, I'll just when I'm done making some comments, Sammy, I'll just turn it over to you. And ask you to add some comments to what I've already made.
Okay, that will be fine.
If you're going to connect into the Adobe Connect, you'll see the agenda there in the window. Otherwise, I can forward it to you again. Quickly, if you
is
like.
Is there like a URL for the Adobe Connect or what?
I'll forward. Unless Nick, you can forward it to them. I've got several windows of call management going on here.
Yes, I can certainly forward it. Bear with me one second as I open it up. Sammy, which user ID should I send it to you on?
Maybe my last name or.
No, I'm sorry.
You're gonna give
you
me.
Have,
a,
you have Sammy Akinik or you have Burkara at me.com.
Yes.
Which one is the better?
Yeah, Burkara@me.com.
Okay, and Joe, I'm also sending it to you at your Akinik address.
Okay.
Is that good?
Okay, fine. That's good. Yeah.
Okay, it's on its way.
And then just since you're not looking at it, Joe and Sammy, after that, Jeff is going to do a brief overview of security arrangements and similarly, then turn it over to the two of you if you would wish to make some comments. And I'm sure the same comment applies in this section as it does in the logistics section.
Yeah.
And then after that, I'm briefly going to cover remote participation for those who are not going to be there. I'm going to keep it very short just to make clear to people that for those who aren't present, there will be good remote participation services and the like. And then we'll just take questions.
All right.
Stacy, welcome.
Thanks, Nick.
You thought you were hiding, but I can see who's dialed in.
I figured that one out. I thought by not giving my last name, I could be incognito.
Before the call begins, Tihani Benjamar from At Large is on the bridge. Tihani, just so you know, you've been muted because when your line is unmuted, it introduces an echo for the whole call. So if you ask, if you want to ask a question, you can unmute yourself with *7. When you're called on to ask a question, but otherwise, if you can leave yourself on mute, that will help.
Hey, Nick, let me ask you a question. How do I enter the chat portion of this thing?
You just type in the little window at the bottom of the chat window. There you go.
Okay, thank you.
We've actually got several people who are in the Adobe Connect room who are not on the bridge, which is interesting.
Do you have to do anything about unlocking the bridge line in order to allow people to join the call?
Nope, it's already done.
Hi, Nick. It's Chris. The same.
Chris, good evening or morning, whatever it might be.
It's afternoon here in Oz, my dear.
Ah, Cheryl, I'd know that voice anywhere.
Well, how are you both? Chris, Nick Tommaso, I hope you've gone for your... shots by now.
I'm going for my shots on Monday morning, Nick. I can hardly wait.
I think I prefer root canal.
Thanks very much for your encouragement there. That's
how are you, Cheryl?
I'm doing okay.
The thought of Chris having his shots on Monday.
No way you're thinking he's getting them too, Cheryl. Can't fool me.
What time is it, Cheryl?
Just on 5 p.m.
Oh, must be nice. I'm doing a U here. For Nick Tommaso and I, it's 1 in the morning, so we're impersonating you.
Well, good luck on that one.
Hi, Cheryl. I know Cheryl well, know full well, but it takes at least two people to impersonate her character thing. Such a gift.
Oh, thank you for that.
I can hear somebody saying something in the background.
Yes, this is Jan.
Hi,
Anna. Hi, Chris. I'm just going to listen.
Good.
Okay.
Me too.
Okay.
It is 2 minutes past or 3 minutes past the start of the call now, as far as I see it, Nick. But
yeah, I would say if we give it one or two more minutes, we've had about 10 people added to the call in the last minute or so. So I'm guessing a couple minutes delay would be welcomed.
Yes, I'm sure you're right.
Did you pick up the Radu Pavu from Romania? There's no toll number. Is it possible to dial out to him?
It certainly is.
I've typed it. You just need to do it. Hello, Dave. Are you on the phone bridge yet?
Yes, I'm in now.
Just if you don't mind, I was interested to know how your wife got on. Did you get her home from the hospital all right?
Yeah, she had the injection penicillin done, and then she returned home. She's now on antibiotics.
Good to hear. Well, do wish her well. I'm sure you would have preferred to be on a an at-large community call, but we were concerned that she was going to be all right.
Yeah, thank you very much, Shireen.
Had something like 10 people join again in the last minute. Now we're almost up to 30, 31.
Well, this is a good thing.
Yeah, no, it's the more the merrier. Welcome to all of you who have recently joined us.
Yeah.
We're just giving giving it a couple minutes because there are so many people who are joining in rapid order.
You got another dial-out request, Nick?
I've got it.
Thanks. I mean, I've given up sending you private messages because you and I tend to have things in open windows eventually and nothing's ever private, so...
And I'm working on a laptop, so my window space is more limited than normally.
Okay. Well, surely you obviously don't have your laptop then, because your laptop is huge.
I have that one.
Oh, it doesn't matter.
Whoever told you that, Chris, wasn't being honest.
Thanks, Cheryl.
Well, perhaps when we've got one person who's waiting for a dial out, and then perhaps we should get started. Thank you. Well, I suppose it's 7 minutes past. We may as well get things underway. Welcome to the first of two community calls to brief you on logistics arrangements for Nairobi and security arrangements. For those of you who aren't aware, it's useful background to know. This, for those of you who've attended previous ICANN meetings, this meeting is actually not being held at one hotel, but it's being held at a convention center, about which you will hear more, and a number of the logistics relate to that, so it's worth keeping that in mind when you are listening to the briefing, as normally, of course, we have our conferences at one host hotel, and then there are some people who stay at hotels nearby, and it's a somewhat different modality this time. On the call today, we have Nick Tomaso, ICANN's General Manager for Meetings and Conferences, who will be taking you on a virtual walkthrough from your arrival at the airport. Assisting him will be Joe and Sammy of Keenik, our hosts. Following that, Jeff Bickers, ICANN's Director of Security, will give you a review of the security situation and arrangements related thereto, and our hosts will also be providing their perspective on that. And finally, I will in very briefly talk about the remote participation options that will be available to those who do not attend in person, but who attend remotely. And I probably should have mentioned for those of you who don't know me that I'm Nick Ashton-Hart and I'm ICANN's Senior Director for Participation and Engagement. So the one thing I would ask as a matter of housekeeping is for those of you who have questions, if you can save them until the end, at that point, those of you in Adobe Connect, if you can raise your hand in the interface, or if you don't know how to do that, the button to raise your hand is in the far bottom left of the screen, and there's a little person with their hand raised. You may also, of course, ask for the floor in the chat interface. And if you are unable to connect to Adobe Connect and are only on the telephone bridge, then you could ask for the floor at a brief break in the dialogue. Other than that, please do keep in mind that to keep line noise low, it's helpful if you mute yourself by using *6. If you do mute yourself, you can unmute yourself by pressing *7. And with that, I'll turn it over to Nick Tomaso.
Well, thank you, Nick. This is Nick Tomaso. I am the General Manager for Meetings and Conferences for ICANN. Thank you all for taking the time to join this call, and hopefully we'll give you the information you need to make you comfortable with your trip to Nairobi. I'm also very pleased that two of our colleagues from the Kenyan Network Information Center, or KINIC, the host organization for the ICANN Nairobi meeting, are on the call with us as well. Sammy Fuku, who is the board chairman.
But I'm Higani, and this is our turn here. Please hold.
Hello.
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 Well, there's some music that I couldn't hear.
Yes, I had music as well. Does the line seem to be operational again now?
Yeah.
Yeah, now we're back on operation again.
Very well. So I was just introducing Sammy Burukara, who is the board chairman of KINIC, the Kenya Network Information Center, the host organization for the ICANN Nairobi meeting, and Joe Kirigu, the administrative manager of KINIC as well. So thank you both for joining us. What I thought I would do is just take you through what you will experience on your arrival in Nairobi. The Jomo Kenyatta International Airport is the airport you will most likely be coming into. When you arrive at the airport, inside of immigration, which is quite unusual, And thanks to our host for arranging that. We'll have an ICANN welcome desk, and they will help you with any questions you may have in visas and getting your way into and through immigration. Once you come out of immigration and pick up your bags and come out of customs and into the main area of the airport terminal, you'll find another ICANN welcome desk. At that desk will be representatives who will assist you with arranging for a taxi to your hotel. The taxi ride will take between 20 and 45 minutes, depending on traffic, and will cost about 20 U.S. dollars or 15 euros. I think you'll find the airport to be quite comfortable to come through, and the immigration customs processes, having been there three times now, are quite typical of what you'd find anywhere else. The people at the arrival desk in the arrival area who will help you to your taxis will make sure that you take a licensed, authorized taxi to get you to your airport, to your individual hotels. With that, I'd like to ask Sammy to make some comments from his perspective on that. Sammy?
Thank you very much for inviting me this call. I just want to let you know that we have made arrangements so that when you arrive in Kenya, you will have a good experience. Like you have said, at the Jomo Kenyatta Airport, we shall maintain the welcome desk at the immigration and also after immigration outside, just before you come out. And this staff will guide you on the way that on the taxis that you can use to get to your hotel. Kenya is a tourist country, and the various service providers are accustomed to provide service to tourists and foreigners, and they're quite friendly. And I'm sure that you would enjoy the service that you will get. The various hotels that have been selected for the venue are all not very far from the convention center, and therefore we have made arrangements that you will be able to get transportation from the hotel to the convention center. And the airport, the Jomo Kenyatta Airport, is a fairly easy airport to get around. It's a very small airport compared to JFK, for example, so you will not get lost. Be very easy to get your way around. And I think the other comments about maybe transportation between the hotel and the KSCC, I'll probably like to reserve those comments in the next item in the agenda. But Kenya is very safe. We are in control of the situation. The government is with us. There will be security at the airport that would be assigned for this event and the attendees who are taking part in this event, and they are aware about your coming, and so you will be taken care of. Your safety is taken care of in that regard. So I would like to leave my comments for other areas as we get to that point in the agenda. Thank you.
This Sammy, thank you very much. This is Nick again. Cheryl posed a question which I neglected to address, and that is that the two desks at the airport will be open 24 hours, or certainly for as long as there are flights arriving into the city.
Okay, yes, thank you, Nick. I would like to probably add more comments on what Sammy has said. Thank you for the conference. Just to add more on what Sammy has said, we only have one exit at the JKIA for international arrivals. Therefore, the desks are very easy to identify. The two desks at the immigration and the welcome desk outside the immigration area is very easy to identify because we only have one exit. So like Sammy said, people won't get lost in the airport instead because it's very easy to get out of the airport. Something else I also want to put across is that there is a transport committee that is organizing how the fleets will be done and how the pickup will be done. So regarding immigration and the welcome desk and the taxis, this group has already come up with a list of recommended taxis that we are going to forward to ICANN to be put on the website. Thank you.
Excellent. Thank you, Joe. Any other comments from Joe or Sammy before we move this along back to Nick? Thank you both.
I think that I just probably want to add that I think for most attendees, they probably would be able to get visas at the airport if their countries have good arrangements. But we would like to be of assistance to anybody that might still have issues with visas. But usually most visitors from some of the listed countries will get their visas on arrival.
I must say that Sammy and his colleagues introduced me to members of Foreign Affairs, Internal Security, Ministry of Communications, etc., and all of them are highly committed to the ICANN meeting. And to Sammy's point about, I believe that was Sammy speaking, about visas, if there are any visa issues, make sure you let us know very quickly, and the committee working on that will handle them for us.
Right. Well, I guess at that point there are questions being asked in the chat, but I'm making note of these, and I would say let's go on, and I'll turn it over to Jeff Bickers, ICANN's Director of Security, for a review of the security situation and arrangements.
Okay. Can everyone hear me all right? Thanks for that introduction, Nick. I'll keep my comments fairly brief. We'll leave as much time as we can for questions here. And I want to start our comments on security considerations by reiterating the basic facts that, like any other ICANN meeting in any other city, most of the security that attendees will enjoy will largely come from their own precautions and the steps that they take to be just wise travelers and observe common sense precautions. Our local hosts, Sammy, Joe, in collaboration with the Kenyan government, are obviously very committed to providing a safe environment for this meeting. And we are reviewing the security arrangements at the KICC and at the local hotels and the arrangements that will be made to provide safe and secure transport between those hotels and the KICC. There will be a screening process as you arrive at the KICC. As Nick said, there'll be measures taken to make sure that people are provided with some information about how to keep their belongings safe. There'll be a tagging system for your laptop that will be barcoded to a badge, your registration badge. There will be Kenyan security police within the KICC, both plainclothes and possibly also in uniform, that will help us keep that a safe environment and provide assistance to anybody who has security issues within the KICC. A number of questions have come up about transportation to and from the airport, so I'll jump ahead and just answer that question. We haven't identified any particular concerns that would lead us to believe that the trip from Kenyatta Airport to the city center poses any serious security risks. So all ICANN staff will be advised to take taxis. There will be no special considerations made for ICANN staff to be transported in any special fashion, nor will there be any other special security measures for ICANN staff or board while in Nairobi. The arrangements we're making are strictly across-the-board arrangements to improve the security situation for all the attendees at the meeting. With that, I'll turn it back over to Sammy or Joe if they want to add any additional comments about the security arrangements.
Yeah, I think like I just said, we I think that the trip from the airport to the hotels and generally Nairobi, I think it's fairly secure. It's a highway, and it's a fairly busy highway, and gives a very good view the scenery of the town. And like I said, the taxis that usually operate from the airport are taxis that we recommend, ones that have been approved to operate from the airport have been vetted, and therefore you should be fairly safe to get to town. And also we are arranging security. There will be security at the hotels. Apparently there have always been security. When in our discussions with our security team, they have always had security arrangements for hotels because of the fact that most of the hotel guests are always tourists, and being a tourist country, we promote tourism, and therefore we ensure that the security is always safe, except that for this event they are going to step it up a bit just to ensure to accommodate the large number of guests. There will be uniformed and non-uniformed security that will accompany the transportation between hotels and the venue, and there will be security at the venue. The meeting venue actually is surrounded. It's at the center of the key government offices, the office of the president, the treasury, the revenue service. It's surrounded at the key government centers, which are the nerve center of the government, and therefore it's a fairly, and it's got a compound, it's in the wall, and it's next to the High Court, so it's a fairly naturally safe place, but there are always security there, and they have arranged for special diplomatic security police and anti-terrorism police just to raise the security level, just to make sure that, any other whatever eventualities can be handled. But we've not had when the kind of events that have been held there previously of up to 4,000 delegates, they've been managed very well, so the same team feels very comfortable that they would be able to handle our event, and are ready for that. So I would say that from their hotel, in the hotel, and on the bus to the event, there will be security team that will accompany any of the trips just for the comfort of the guests. Maybe Joe, you may want to add something.
Okay, thank you, Sammy. Just to add on that, on transportation. We will group the buses or the fleets that we use. We'll group them together according to location where the hotels are. For example, if hotels are closer to each other, we could have buses shuttling to those two hotels or three hotels that are closer together. If we have more participants in a particular hotel, more delegates in a particular hotel, we just have one bus going to that hotel and to the conference venue. So we have grouped various hotels together. We have so far we have five groups, but as the meeting progresses, we'll keep on working on the group, depending on the number of delegates you're getting per hotel. We have one group, for example, I'll just give an example. We have Jacaranda Hotel and Holiday Inn, which is closer, so that is one group. For example, we have Norfolk, Fairmount Norfolk, and Safari Club. That's another group, which those hotels are closer. So we will group the fleets according to where the hotels are. Now, the number of times that the shuttles or the number of buses that we will deploy in a particular route will depend on the number of delegates we have in a particular hotel. We are working with the hotels to find out the number of delegates who have already booked in those hotels. Of course, we might not be able to get the numbers right now, but towards the end, closer to the meeting, we will have the actual numbers. Something else to also note is that we are working on a schedule to see what time the buses will be leaving the different hotels, because depending on the location where the hotels are, buses will leave the hotels at different times. So we want the buses to arrive at the conference center almost at the same time, at least 30 minutes before the meeting. For example, if you have a meeting starting at 8, at 9 in the morning, the buses should arrive there by 8:30, so that if people want to do registration or just to give enough time before the buses come, so they should arrive later at 8:30 if the meeting is being at 9. Now, working on that, now we work backwards and find out the time that the buses need to leave the hotel, the different hotels, depending on where the locations are. We have a list of the hotels that will be put on the website. Some of them are already there. So we'll be working, the hotels will be doing trips from the main hotels that we will be working with. I can just give a list of the hotels that we already have. We have the Intercontinental. We have the Hotel Hilton, Lyco Regency, Sir Robert Stanley, Nairobi Safari Club, Fairmount Norfolk, the Fairview, Sarova Pan-Afric, Holiday Inn, Jacaranda, and Nairobi Serena.
Very good, Joe. Thank you for that rundown of shuttle transportation. Let's turn it back over to Jeff to finish up his comments on security, please.
So a couple closing comments. Clearly there's only so many provisions that ICANN can make. And as I said before, most of your personal security will depend on, keeping your wits about you and doing the common sense thing. I would caution that any attendees walking or deciding to walk instead of taking a taxi, restrict that to daylight hours and possibly in groups. Pickpocketing and other crimes of fraud and whatnot are not totally uncommon in the city center, and I think anyone walking with a backpack or a laptop might be an inviting target, so it's just something to keep in mind. I would also caution that when it comes to customs checks that it might not be a bad idea to bring your immunization card with you. Probably not called for very often, but there are postings on the Kenyan government website that basically put travelers on notice that if they're originating from a country where yellow fever is known to occur, they may be asked to prove their immunization. So you probably won't be asked for that, but I would have it with you on this trip. And that pretty much concludes the comments I wanted to make. I'll turn it back over to Nick Ashton Hart.
Well, thanks very much. I'll be brief on the remote participation side, so we can get to the questions, and basically say that many of the tools that you all have seen used at previous ICANN meetings for remote participation, Adobe Connect with its chat and video and audio interfaces, depending on the meeting you're at, the Scribe feeding that you can see obviously in the room, but now also that has been linked to live Scribe feeding that has been linked to meetings, and audio streaming in various languages and recordings and the like. You'll see those features again at Nairobi. What we are doing, though, is that we are standardizing. In the past, any meeting could have any number of features, and so it wasn't really very easy for a potential remote participant to identify in advance if they would be able to, for example, hear what the meeting was going on in the meeting, or simply see chat. We are standardizing options to a degree and setting a base level of participation options that are available for various types of meetings. And this will be published sometime in advance of the meeting, I think 2 to 3 weeks at least. So you'll be able, if you intend to attend remotely, to plan your the meetings that you attend, knowing what level of participation you will have available to you. And so I think people who are remote will find that it's much easier to decide what to attend and what not to attend based on what level of engagement you wish to have, in based on the meeting and its size and also its content. And so again, you'll see more complete information on that as we get closer to the meeting. You'll also see more integration of remote participants on an equal basis in some of the larger meetings, where in the past some questions might be taken from the chat interface in Adobe Connect, for example, but there wasn't really an equality of treatment between a question or a comment added during a public forum, for example, and someone speaking through a mic, and we're looking to equalize the treatment of remote participants with in-room participants for some of those sessions. And other than that, I guess I will turn over to questions. I have so far in the queue Sebastian, Adam, and Dave, but I will look at the other things that have been typed into the interface. I'll start, though, with Sebastian. Just remember, Sebastian, you'll need to bring yourself off mute with star 7.
Okay, you mute us all together. Okay,
yeah.
Thank you. Yeah, I want to take some rapid question on the walkthrough we offer. I would like first to start with security in plane, because with the last events, it seems that some airlines or country take new security feature. As you are traveling a lot and much more, some of us, can you tell us if there is something we need to know we would change in the security issue at the airport when we will take the plane, when we will board the plane? That's my first question. I have two others, if you allow me. Thank you. You want me to pose the three questions, or you want to answer each one?
Well, you may as well ask them since you're off mute now.
Okay, you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. My first question is to deal with security, but when we will board the plane or before boarding the plane, with the last events, a new feature came, and as you are travelers better than us, can you tell us what are the new security measures taken by some airlines or some countries? That's my first question. My second, it's about visa. Do you advise us to take the visa at home or at the airport arriving? And my third question, it's about money. You told us about $20 or 15 euros for the taxi. Do we need to have local currency? And if so, can we get it at the airport in Nairobi, or do we need to find them before leaving our country? Thank you.
Okay. I guess, Jeff, you would be the first person to respond to the question about whether or not you're aware of any security measures people will need to consider on boarding the plane due to recent events.
I'm not aware of any. Clearly, the security requirements for passengers boarding commercial flights will depend on their point of origin. Obviously, the UK has stepped up security considerations. People transiting the UK to get to Kenya are going to probably undergo more thorough inspections than they would have a month ago. I don't have any specific recommendations for things to do or not to do in general before boarding your flight to Kenya, if that was the question. Again, other than carrying some proof of your immunization record and observing common sense traveler safety concerns, making a copy of your passport and keeping that in a separate compartment, and not carrying large amounts of cash, that sort of thing. But other than that, no specific recommendations security-wise before boarding.
And the second question is it advised to get a visa in advance or at the airport? I'm not sure who the best person would be for that, but perhaps our local host would be most able.
You know, let me volunteer my perspective. I obtained a visa in advance in the United States and waited in line with all the folks clearing customs who had not obtained a visa in advance. And the process appeared to me to be fairly simple and straightforward. A small fee, I think equivalent to 25 U.S., was paid, and visas were provided at the actual customs screening area. So I don't think there's a tremendous disadvantage in arriving without a visa, but that may vary depending on which country you're originating from.
And I think the question about local currency at the airport has since been answered in the chat interface, because I believe Sammy has answered that you should get some local currency, and that there are Forex shops in the airport. Samuel, perhaps a question that comes to mind here is: one may exchange currency. Is there also are there also cash points where it is easy to withdraw local currency using a credit card?
Yeah, they are automated teller machines at the airport that take Visa, MasterCard. That one can be able to, and they give cash, they give local currency, so one can be able to do that, and various bank outlets in the city. So, but at the airport, yes, there is a teller machine right at the exit, and we shall be able to advise you where and clearly marked where you can withdraw with your credit card or debit card, instead of a Visa or a MasterCard logo.
Wonderful. I think next in the queue, Adam was asking a question about visa forms, which I believe have since been answered. And Dave Kissendoyal, I believe that question hasn't been answered. He's asking if there is any medical screening for H1N1 or other diseases at the airport. Perhaps again.
Not that I'm aware of, actually. I don't think they do screen. Although, I mean, occasionally, when that issue was at a peak, there was a form that one would fill, but we didn't really have we don't have any screening at this time, and therefore, I don't think anyone should be concerned about that.
Okay, and there's been a discussion online about taxis, and I think that's been answered, though. I would note that Evan has asked if there will be inter-hotel shuttles in the evening for those who may need to meet with other attendees who are staying at a different hotel than theirs.
This is Nick Tommaso. I'll take that one. No, there is no plan for that, as you might expect. The ability to coordinate shuttles running between multiple hotels would be next to impossible. But every hotel has a concierge bell stand, and you can get a taxi through them that will be a safe, reliable means of transportation to get around the city.
Okay, the next question is from John Curran. Is there an ICANN or KICC response plan in case of demonstration or unrest, or is this considered unlikely to occur again?
Okay, so this is Jeff, and I'll address that. The it's, of course, very difficult for us to predict the likelihood of another outbreak or violent protest. They do occasionally occur in Nairobi. They are not so common as to be something that we have great concerns about. If an incident were to occur similar to what happened on 15th of January, we basically have radio communication with the drivers of the shuttles, And we have complete collaboration and help from the Kenyan police, who clearly would know about a disturbance like that before anyone else in town would. If it occurred during a period of time when we had a lot of attendees transiting the city center, information would be relayed to those police representatives and drivers on board so that they could effectively avoid the affected area. In observing the incident on the 15th, it wasn't something that occurred so quickly and simultaneously that people in the area could not avoid the trouble. In other words, it took on the order of hours to really become a serious problem. So I would envision that if there was another situation similar to that, we would have ample opportunity to allow our attendees to avoid it, to advise the people in the KICC and the hotel security staffs to tell people as they left their hotels to get into taxis that a similar incident was happening downtown, and to make common sense decisions to avoid that area. And hopefully that answers John's question.
John, does that answer your question? You can just put something in the chat window if you like. In the meantime, he just answered and said yes. JC has asked for a question. JC, you'll need to *7 to unmute. If you're talking, JC, we can't hear you. Can't do TTMF tones. I think I can unmute you. Unfortunately, I don't see your name in the... here you are. Right, I've unmuted you, JC. Go ahead.
Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Is this okay?
Yeah.
I have a couple of questions. I'm still on the fence about attending, and it's not necessarily about security per se, but really about logistics of, first of all, transportation. The simple fact that it's not an hotel venue and it's a convention center might be an issue, not necessarily as far as security is concerned, but really about what is most important in ICANN meetings, which is, to me and to many others, networking. So on that ground, the questions earlier about is there a shuttle between hotels if we have to meet together, and you say they're not provided, well, it's understandable, but I think it's a pity. Now, the comment about that is you're saying we should use concierge hotels, which is fine. We've all done that all over the world. So if we are able to do that securely in Nairobi, that's perfect. Maybe there's no need for a shuttle, or if there is, I don't see which, to be honest. Is it because there is not enough taxi in the hotel? Is it because some taxi are unreliable? So that would be the first question. The second question would be remote participation. I'm a bit worried when you say that the usual means of remote participation will be available, because I was attending a meeting in Washington, D.C., an ICANN meeting in Washington, D.C. a couple of weeks ago, where the usual means of participation were available, and Sebastian will be able to come to that because he was remotely participating, and we couldn't hear the remote participation for basically the first hour. So if it was that difficult in Washington, D.C., what contingent plans, if any, are in place for Kenya in bandwidth and in quality of phone lines and whatnot for remote participation to be effective? And the third question relating to that is, again, I'm on the fence. I might still attend. The problem I have is that at the moment people have been on record saying they will not attend, large chunk of constituencies will not be attending Kenya. Therefore, I'm faced with the decision, and my company is faced with the decision of saying, is it even worth attending, again, irrespective of any security issue, because at the moment we don't know who will be on the ground and who will not. So thus I can plan to, you know, try to do a roll call. I mean, I know we have an attendees list, but many of us, myself included, do subscribe very early to the attendee list, which means that as the meeting go closer and people make their decision, maybe the attendees list is not sorry for that, is not accurate enough right now. In other words, do you intend to poll the community and to try to have a an attendees list as accurate as possible as the day grow near? Again, just to know how many of us will be on the ground and to allow for people to make their travel arrangements accurate as possible. Sorry, it was a long set of questions. I hope you followed a lot. Thank you.
Thanks, Tracy. Just to make sure, so your question related to the taxis, you're asking if there would need to be shuttles because it was likely that there are not enough taxis. If I'm understanding,
what I'm saying is, if you're saying we can use hotel taxis and they're fine, then what's the need of shuttles?
I guess that might be a Nick Tommaso question, that one.
Yes, it is. I will say that most of the downtown hotels are really within walking distance of the Kenyatta International Conference Center, or what we call KICC, within a 10 to 15 minute walk. The reason for the shuttles is for the convenience of our delegates and to ensure that they have safe transport between the hotels and the convention center. The convention center is a downtown convention center supported by the hotels in the area, so it's not uncommon for people to walk. But we and our hosts, assessing all of the considerations in Nairobi, decided that that would be the best way to move people. I don't anticipate any shortage of taxis. And we really see the shuttle service as a added value as opposed to a necessity. So I think that answers, I hope that answers your first question.
Yes, sorry, as a follow-up, if I may, I think it would be useful, I know it's an audio call, but if some notes could be passed on, for example, on shuttle schedules and destinations, I think that would be quite helpful to make an assessment.
Yes, JC, we are working on that, and as I'm sure you can tell from the comments from Sammy and Joe, this is a work in progress, and they're even contacting the local hotels to see how many delegates have registered at their hotels to provide that information. We know basically what time we'll start the programs at the KICC and what time they'll end, and we're planning those shuttles accordingly to depart the hotels in the morning for the main session, so giving some consideration to earlier meetings that may take place at the KICC that often happen. When we have the ability to really firm it up, we will publish the shuttle schedule, yes.
Okay, thanks.
To answer your second question, JC, I think that As of about 12 hours ago, we had 520 delegates registered in the registration database. But your point is well taken, and we know that that is pretty much a high watermark because there are a number of people who may have registered early, who have since changed their plans. So I'm fortunate that team members who you may know, Tanzanika King and Stacy Hofberg, are on the line with us. And we will work on a plan to send email messages out to everyone who is in the registration database who has provided an email address and ask them to confirm their attendance.
Great.
on the remote participation question, when I said the usual options at ICANN meetings, I suppose I should have been more specific. Meetings that are arranged like the one you are describing have different, the arrangements made for remote participation are completely bespoke for each meeting. That is being standardized, I believe, from my conversations in Marina Del Rey last week. I think it's something that's been worked on for some time. The arrangements for the main ICANN meetings, I hope that those of you who have attended meetings will agree. I have been a particularly demanding customer when I was the director for at large of remote participation facilities, as my colleagues on the meetings department will no doubt certify on behalf of the at large community. And certainly, I would say that the remote participation facilities have improved very considerably, especially over the last several meetings since Nick took over the helm in particular. And I think people will find that those facilities will be even more reliable at the Nairobi meeting, but also more consistent, as I said, so that you will know much further in advance what you can expect.
Sorry to monopolize the call. I'll shut up soon after. In terms of bandwidth and so on, do you have specifics to communicate? Or?
We don't have any specifics to communicate in terms of exact amounts of bandwidth and the like, though I've been assured from those who are handling it that there will be bandwidth to handle what we are planning, especially which is made easier in point of fact by standardizing, because then you know longer in advance what you actually need.
Okay.
And I believe Evan is next in the queue, though I am not sure whether your original question has been answered, but you've asked a couple of follow-ups. So, Evan, if your question hasn't been answered, can you star 7 to unmute yourself? If it has been answered, if you can just say so in the chat window.
I think I've just asked some of the questions I had have been answered early on in the conversation. I had a concern some of the flights that I know get in the middle of the night, and so making sure that the offices and the travel desks that you've been talking about, that they're staffed for some of those overnight flights will be greatly appreciated. And the other thing that I was curious to know if indeed the quote-unquote official hotels have been picked, that is, the ones where staff will be staying, where at large will be staying, and since there is a curfew at the Kenyatta Center, I imagine there's also going to be a necessity to leave some minimal meeting space at the hotels. For instance, if you want to do a meeting that would allow people from North America to come in by teleconference, because of the time zone difference, we'd need to do that in the evening. So that would have to be done through one of the hotels, and I just was hoping for a little confirmation that would be possible, but also just as a matter of trying to find out if you know yet what the quote-unquote official hotel room.
Sounds like a Nick question. Sorry. Yeah.
Yes, this is Nick Tommaso. All of those supported by ICANN's travel policy, so all the constituency groups, including at large, will be staying at the Lyco Regency Hotel. That is our plan, which I don't anticipate will change.
And Nick,
to your second question, Evan, regarding facilities at hotels, each of the hotels, including the Lyco Regency, they all have meeting facilities within the hotel. Obviously, I'm not sure if you're asking if ICANN will arrange those meetings or if you have an opportunity to arrange a meeting on your own at the hotel.
All I suspect in the silence, I suspect the question relates to if a meeting that would have been held in the KICC because it was, you know, for instance, regional at large organizations teleconference or the like, if it would in another setting have been held in the main venue, where will it be held now?
We are collecting requirements, as you know, Nick, from all of the ACSO groups to understand what their requirements for Nairobi are, working within the confines of the Convention Center availability time that we ought to end meetings at the Convention Center to ensure that people are back in their hotels early enough in the evening. I cannot answer that question specifically now. We do know that it is an issue, but until we see requirements, I can't answer that any more clearly than we will do what we need to do to accommodate.
Next in the queue is Tihani Benjama. Tihani, you may need to star 7, pardon me, to unmute yourself.
Yes, good morning, Nick and everybody. My question is about the hotels covered by the shuttle bus. As I have understood, only the official hotels are covered by this service, and it's normal. But my question is, if some people go in other hotels, will they be covered by this shuttle bus? I ask this question because we have a project of an outreach event for the African ALSs, but we are not sure now that it will happen because we don't have the confirmation of the funding. Right now, we are planning to be in the Pan-Africa Hotel, which is covered by this shuttle bus. But since we don't book firmly the rooms, perhaps we will not find rooms there. So if it happens that we go in other hotels, can we include them in the shuttle bus service?
Joe Kirigu, are you still on the call?
Yeah, I'm still on the call. I think for that is a special request that is coming through. And for this case, because you're holding a certain meeting at Pan-Africa Hotel, if you don't find a venue at Pan-Africa Hotel, you might have to move to another hotel. I think that yours is a special request, and we can include the hotel that you're going to have the event on the shuttle buses, yes.
Very good. Thank you, Joe. Has your question been answered? To Johnny?
His hand has just come up again. I'm suspecting it's a follow-up. Tihani, go ahead. If
yes, it is answered. Thank you very much.
Oh, great.
Thank you.
And Sebastian has his hand up.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, great. Thank you. Yeah, I have two questions. The first one, it's not just about the meeting room in the hotel, but all the internet connection facility, because obviously if we will finish the meeting at half past five in the afternoon, we will have some time to do some work, including some work for the ICANN during the evening and maybe the night, and I would like to be sure that we have all the internet facilities in each and every of the hotel. And my second point, as you are, you will request a confirmation of participation, can't we try to set up some form of sharing the taxi from the hotel? It will be more green and more secure to do that. If we can allow this possibility, it will be great, because I think one way to have that done, now that you are requesting confirmation of participation, maybe you can request also for the one you don't know the time arrival and from where and so on and so forth. Thank you very much.
Mm-hmm. This is Nick. I had to come off mute. The hotels that we have selected have internet connectivity in the guest rooms, as you would expect to find in most other hotels you travel to, Sebastian. So that is not an issue. Obviously, the ICANN VeriLAN, if you will, provided network will not be available there, but that is very typical of an ICANN meeting. It's only in the meeting areas where we have that, the ICANN network. Stacy is just pinging me on Jabber. That fact, the Lyco Hotel, we have included internet connectivity in the room rate, so that will be provided gratis. If I followed your question on arrival information and sharing taxi cabs, I'm not sure that is something that we can engage in because of the resources it would take to try to capture that information and to group people. I think the good news is that we'll have an ICANN desk in the arrivals area, and that people who arrive together will likely arrive at that desk together, and cab sharing makes all the sense in the world if people are going to the same hotel.
There's been some other questions more or less asked and answered in the chat interface. Adam has made a point about the per diem. Kevin, as you're online, I won't ask you to respond to that, but I'm sure you can take note of that as needed. If there are no other questions, it seems that we have. If we have run out of questions, then perhaps we can close the call almost exactly 1 hour after it began. Perhaps I'd ask for a last call. Hesitate becoming an auctioneer with going once, going twice, but see a few people are typing. They're laughing at me, so apparently all the questions are thanks, which are the best kind of questions in my personal view.
I'm sorry, we have one question here.
Sure.
The question is when will the ICANN desk be up and running? If we come, say, in March, say the 1st, will it be around, or when do you plan to set that up?
Joe, I believe I saw you say earlier that the ICANN arrival desks at the airport will open on Friday. They certainly won't be open on March 1st.
Okay, thank you.
Okay. There really should be no concern about transportation from the airport to the hotel. As a matter of fact, Jeff, who was just there recently, did not have any prior arrangements or an ICANN welcome desk for him, and he navigated very easily and very quickly from the airport to the hotel, as did I during my last visit there.
Well, it seems that that's the last word on the subject, and thanks to our hosts in Kenya for taking the time to join us tonight and again tomorrow. And thanks to all of you in the community for taking the time to connect up and ask the questions. I'm sure that we will take a number of questions, as you've seen in the chat, and add lines to the FAQ or references to online forms and the like. I'm sure the meeting will benefit by the questions you've asked. So thank you all very much, and I wish you good day, good evening, good afternoon, depending on where you are.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. You're welcome. Thank you much.